In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Oh yes, I'm glad to be with you to proclaim the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Today we're going to look at the conversion of Saul, and we're going to see that God knows how to convert people, maybe you, who are very far from the Lord, and God wants to give you a story like St. Paul. Oh yes, God is able. He is able. My story wasn't like St. Paul. My story was gentle, and Jesus showed himself to me, and he told me, "How much more glory can you give me?" I know that I didn't have a St. Paul experience, but I had a wonderful experience, one that fitted me as a person, as a priest to be. I'm reading from the 9th chapter of Acts of the Apostles. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found all or any who belonged to the way, Christians, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. We remember what Saul did. When Stephen was being stoned, they laid his clothes at the feet of a man named Saul, a young man. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, he's on the Damascus Road, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. It's the glory of God. It's the Shekinah glory. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" You see, to persecute a Christian is to persecute Jesus Christ. This is where Paul gets the whole doctrine of the body of Christ, Christ being the head and the church of believers being the body. Oh yes, why do you persecute me? Paul could have said, or Saul could have said, "I've never laid eyes upon you." But to persecute the church is to persecute Jesus Christ. Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" Their reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Persecuting the church is to persecute Jesus. "But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with Saul stood speechless because they heard the voice, but saw no one. Saul sees the risen Lord. Oh yes, he sees the risen Lord. He becomes an apostle. He is a witness of the risen Savior, that Christ has died, that Christ was buried, and Christ was raised from the dead on the third day. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. I tell you, that might be you. Your eyes are open, but you can see nothing spiritual. You can hear other people giving their testimony, but you don't have a testimony. You need to ask the Lord, "I want a testimony." I remember the lady that I preached to. She had a smile from ear to ear. And I remember asking her, "Where did you get that smile?" She said, "I always didn't have it. I used to be depressed." And I said to the Lord, "If you give me a smile, I'll let everyone know." And it was a smile that the Lord gave her. She was converted. The Lord converted her. Oh, yes. We all need to be converted. Even now, I've seen the Lord faith by faith, but I need more conversion. There's always more. So they led him by hand, Saul, and brought him into Damascus. For days he was without sight. Many people hear me today. You have no spiritual sight. You have no spiritual sight. Some people came to me last week, and I knew by grace that this was demonic what they were experiencing. I knew by faith. And I prayed in the spirit, and she started to cough it up, to let all those demons go. It wasn't her who was demonic. It was her husband who was demonic that was cursing her. And neither ate nor drank. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. He fasted. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to Ananias in a vision, "Ananias," he answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight Street, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul." Ananias is thinking God's got his stuff mixed up. This is the guy that's been arresting and killing Christians. At this moment, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming to him to lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, especially to Stephen. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before the Gentiles and kings." You are called to be an instrument of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring his name and his kingdom and his power in the Holy Spirit to people. For he is an instrument whom I have chosen. When did he choose him? From before the foundations of the world, to bring my name before Gentiles and kings, before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. What kind of suffering? Persecution. Persecution. Once they stoned Saul, who became Paul, and they formed a circle around him, the believers, and he got up and started preaching again. I tell you, we need miracles. And God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they are miracle working. And we need them to work miracles in our life. You may have no sight spiritually, but the Lord wants to give you sight spiritually. You see, I have within me, I call it my Geiger counter. When someone says something that doesn't fit with the scriptures and what the church teaches, my Geiger counter goes off, and this is not of God. This is not of God. Oh yes, God wants to give you spiritual sight. Maybe you have physical sight, but he wants to give you spiritual sight as well as physical sight. God knows how to heal eyes. I told you the story about Father Adam. He was talking about discipleship at Mass one day, and he says, "The Lord doesn't have many disciples." And this man, when he was leaving the church, said to Father Adam, "I'm a disciple of Jesus." And Father Adam says, "How do you know?" He said, "Because I was blind. And when the priest raised up the host, my left eye opened. And when he raised up the blood, my right eye opened. I have given my life to Jesus Christ." I tell you, this man was a disciple of the Lord because God chose him to see spiritually as well as physically. So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. I remember the woman in Arizona who regained her sight when we prayed with her. We're just instruments. We don't do it on our own. It's the Holy Spirit that does these things. It's wonderful God, the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Now he sees things through the eyes of Jesus. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." Do you know that Jesus is the Son of God from all eternity? Mohammed says that there is one God, but he has no son. I tell you, that's the spirit of Antichrist. Jesus is the Son of God, and from all eternity, he was and is the Son of God, and he always will be the Son of God. All who heard him were amazed and said, "Is this not the man, those who invoked his name in Jerusalem, who caused havoc in Jerusalem? Is this not the man? Is this not the man who made havoc in Jerusalem among those who invoked the name of the Lord? And has he not come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?" They're scared. Saul became increasingly more powerful and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Messiah. Paul never started with the Gentiles. He would always go to the synagogue and preach Jesus. He would take the 52nd and 53rd chapter of Isaiah, that Jesus was a sheep led to the shearers, and he opened not his mouth, that he died for our sins, for those who have sinned. You know, maybe you don't even know your sins, but you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. And my salvation comes from one person, from Jesus Christ. My salvation comes from Jesus Christ. After some time had passed, the Jews plotted to kill Saul, but their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night so that they might kill him. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. He couldn't have been too tall. The basket was, I don't know how big the basket was, but Saul couldn't have been too tall. They lowered him down in a basket. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him. Oh yes, because they heard what he did to Stephen and how he had persecuted the people that Jesus Christ had saved. For they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas, means son of encouragement, took him and brought him to the apostles and described for them how on the road to Damascus he had seen the Lord who had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, I want to speak boldly in the name of Jesus. I want to speak with love, though. I don't want to speak with anything but love, that you might be blind today, spiritually blind today, and God wants to give you sight. Let's pray for it right now. Lord, I'm spiritually blind. Come into my life. Forgive my sins through the blood of Jesus. I'm a sinner. Save me. Heal me. Be my Lord and my Savior. Give me grace to live by. I want spiritual sight. What you did to Paul, do to me. Amen. 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 I remember one day I was preaching in this microphone, I think it was in Saugus, And I said, God is calling someone to be a priest. And they're saying no. And somebody was listening. And they joined the Franciscan order of the old experience. They do very, very little. They eat very, very little. And they go out and preach the gospel. This guy became a priest because he heard someone say that someone needed to go and show themselves because God was calling them to be a priest. So he went in and out among them in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Boldly. I have no shame. I want to speak boldly of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for sinners, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. Oh, his precious blood. Where would I be without the precious blood? I would be lost. You would be lost. Saul became Paul. He was cleansed at baptism with the blood of Jesus. He spoke and argued with the Greeks, but they were attempting to kill him. Remember, he's going to suffer persecution for the sake of the name. When the believers learned of it, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Meanwhile, the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and was built up, living in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, help us to live in the fear of you and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And the people increased in numbers. When the Holy Spirit comes, you don't have to advertise. People know the Holy Spirit is here. And they come. They come. Now, as Peter went here and there among all the believers, he came also to the saints living in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden for 8 years, for he was paralyzed. He probably had a stroke. Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ healed you. Get up and make your bed. And immediately he got up, and all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. I tell you, they knew he had been bedridden for 8 years. Now he's walking around, made whole by the name of Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus, you know. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus and how he needs to be proclaimed boldly. I wonder how many people proclaim Jesus boldly. Well, I don't know how many people, but I want to proclaim him boldly, but always boldly with love. I want to proclaim him with love. Oh, yes. I want to proclaim him with love. Now, in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is called Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. Dorcas died. And she was laid out in the upper room. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydia was near Joppa, and the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, please come to us without delay. So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs where Dorcas was. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made. Oh, yes, this is a real thing. While she was with them. Oh, yes, they're showing the things that Dorcas made while she was with them. But she's dead now. Peter put them all outside. You want to know why? because they saw her dead and they didn't have faith for her to rise. And then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, Dorcas, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. Oh, I would imagine they had a big feast. I would imagine after the resuscitation of Dorcas, oh yes, it was not the resurrection because she doesn't have a new body, but the resuscitation of a dead person. Jesus said that we would raise the dead, heal the sick, cleanse the leper. This became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon the Tanner. This is interesting because Simon the Tanner is not kosher. Tanning was not kosher. And yet Peter now is staying with a tanner. Chapter 10. In Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of the Italian cohort, as it was called. He was a devout man who feared God and all his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed constantly to God. But he's not a Christian yet. But he has a vision. Guess who the vision is of? He has a vision of the Lord himself. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he clearly saw an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." He stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" He answered, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Your prayer and your money has ascended as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa for a certain Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside." When the angel who spoke to him had left, he called two of his slaves and a devout soldier from the ranks of those who served him, and after telling them everything, he sent them to Joppa. About noon the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by four corners. Now, what's he going to see? All unkosher animals. And the voice says, "Take and eat." He says, "No, I've never eaten anything unclean." You see, he's going to now get a ring from Cornelius, going to be at the door. Cornelius sent some servants there. And now Peter will go to Cornelius' house, who is a Gentile, because he saw the vision of unclean animals. And the Lord says, "What I declare to be clean, you must also declare to be clean." The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten of God, full of grace and full of truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. You see, I need to hear from people so we can pay our bills. Go to inseason.net and leave a donation on PayPal. All right, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Lord, let there be conversions through this ministry. Let people come to be healed through this ministry, because the one who is working is Jesus Christ through this ministry. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.